Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a Friday, 15th of March. Joining us this morning, Mrs. Deemer from the city of Arcata. Morning.
Good morning. Good sunny morning in Humboldt County. For those of you that haven't been to the station, they have these great windows and the morning sun blasts through.
Well, so now you're whining about it too.
No, I love it.
Oh, okay.
But my computer screen isn't right in front of it.
Well, I just either have to get out here early or work late.
Probably both you do.
Yeah, I don't think praying for fog is
Please
embraced
don't.
By anybody.
Yeah.
Other than maybe in July, till about 8 o'clock.
Never.
A little mist
like
off
that?
the
until 8 a.m.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like Camelot,
yeah,
or at least the Broadway version of Camelot. Yeah. Yeah. You ready for a question today?
No, but Winston told me it was mandatory.
Mandatory?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big word.
It was.
Why do the military say Roger, then Wilco, to confirm a radio message?
Winston's thinking.
Yeah, but
Roger,
he's not going to help you out.
And then Wilco.
Roger Wilco. Yeah.
Maybe they're the only two letters in the alphabet not used for other things within the military?
Oh, I was thinking maybe it was somebody's name.
Well, and you had read the answer, so
no,
I
have not. I got to play along with the contestants. During the Second World War, the U.S. Navy used a phonic alphabet to clarify radio messages. It began Alpha, Baker, Charlie, I think that's the FAA stuff, and went on to include Roger for R, because Roger, or R, is the first first letter in received. It confirmed that the message was understood. On the other hand, Wilco is a standard military abbreviation for will comply.
Well, there you go.
Received, will comply.
I got like 10%
maybe
of that
that's
right.
Maybe that's what you need. You know, that could be your legacy, huh?
A Roger Wilco box?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or Karen Wilco. You don't think
that'd
fly?
I
out?
See bad memes coming my way now.
Well, at least you'll know where the source was. Oh, jeez. So what's keeping you going, other than just trying to steady the ship through the budget process?
We are just kicking off budget process, which is, which I think this year, I mean, I always think budget is actually kind of fun because it's very finite. You have a certain amount of money and you get to allocate it, right? So things.
So the sales tax that's in the general fund is based off of 2 years ago?
No, we get pretty accurate data. I mean, we get paid out quarterly, but it does sort of hit the state account. We can see sales tax coming into the state account, so we can tell sort of on a month-by-month basis where sales tax. We can look at any rolling 12 months, starting with the most current, as we start to do projections out for the next, 1 to 3 years.
Does the state ever hold that money back?
They don't. There are people that don't pay timely. There are people that the state will put on payment plans timely, and we don't always know what that is. So we will often see late payments coming in. But once
the gross, so to speak, going in, not necessarily what's coming back.
Right. Not necessarily what the state even might know is out there if they have a business that's working with them. But once we see it hit this,
I didn't think you need to put that qualifier on it, frankly.
Yeah. Well, you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, apparently.
I was thinking about that. So how long have you been?
This is my 10th year as city manager.
No, not city. I mean, oh, been. It,
how long have I been
in government employ?
I started with the city of Eureka in 1989.
So I've got 7 years on you then.
Okay.
I just wonder how long you've been in the saddle.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're going to jump off the horse a little bit earlier than me.
I'm going to guess that. I haven't heard any rumors. So if you want to start some today on the
show,
not
unless
could.
You got a really a check with a lot of zeros there. I think it's a pretty safe bet.
I can look under the seat in my car, but I didn't see it when
there may be enough there some days.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
No, so the budget is relatively finite then. Or you have 99% surety? of what the number is that you can start playing with?
Well, certainly of what the number is we can start playing with. Yeah, we do. You know, and then we monitor that every month. And then at mid-year, we usually do any large adjustments. You know, we just finished mid-year budget based on all of our actuals through December, and we were looking pretty good. So, you know, sales tax was up a little higher than we expected. The first two quarters of this fiscal year, you know, came in about what we expected, which was down a little bit from the previous year. But we are starting to see that number go up slightly, which is good. I mean, any upward trend is good right now, I think.
Pacing ahead of inflation or just
ahead of where we've been.
Dollar to dollar.
Yeah.
I heard something this morning that the, at least with the FCC, they're looking for a 15% budget increase this year, which means it's coming from somewhere
else. Well, how are they going to get that? Yeah.
Oh, they're funded by the licensees.
Yeah, there you have that.
Yeah, we have no control. Mm-hmm. We just have to pay at the pump, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the grant programs and things of that nature that are out there that are funded at the federal level or funded at, by the state,
mm-hmm.
are any of those endangered or being cut back or being played with so they're being looked at differently?
We don't have any projects in the city of Arcata that we are afraid of losing. When the state entered into budget deficit, there were a lot of projects that if they didn't have contracts underway with the state, if they didn't already have a dollar spent into the project, or our own contractors that were hired and bid processes awarded, there was what they referred to at the state level as clawbacks on some of those projects.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting phrase?
It is.
I guess maybe Golden Bear State?
Maybe. I don't know.
See, I think of bear claws.
Uh-huh. Now, that's something different if you're at Ramon's
that's
on a
Sunday pastry.
Morning.
Yes. Jeez.
Hmm.
Beer gardens and bakeries. I wonder where I'm next going to run into you.
It will definitely be one of those two places.
Yeah. So they basically change the rules and say, well, we're not going to pay you what we told you we were going to.
Yeah, we don't have any projects, certainly at this point, that are in jeopardy of that. So, but you do got to move quick and get your projects off the ground.
Or in the water. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Since the clock is ticking in the background and you've got short timers.
I don't feel that yet, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. There's a lot of new exciting things that are
so you
happening.
Could be there for a year and that wouldn't bother you?
I don't know if that would I mean, people will start to be like, I thought you were leaving. I thought you were leaving. You know?
I moved my stuff. I'm waiting.
Right. Right. We had things we wanted to do. We knew we couldn't get by you. I don't think it'll take that long. But, you know, part of it is that we've really just committed to a smooth transition for the city. And not that one person, you know, is so vitally important, but in a small
there always is
organization,
one person that's a
you know,
lynch.
It just makes more work for everyone. So,
yeah.
So looking at that, the recruitment is out. So you can get on cityofarcata.org and check out the flyer and the brochure. We need qualified applicants. And
oh, well.
Anyone can
then,
certainly.
Then it goes down as a waste of time for me.
I don't know. You might be scrolling. You can find it on my Facebook. You can find it on my LinkedIn right now.
You think I can find it on your Facebook? Or I could find it on your LinkedIn?
Maybe LinkedIn.
I would have to have LinkedIn, and I would have to Facebook.
Well, we can work on that after the broadcast here if you'd like.
Great.
Or call me direct. If you're a local candidate and you want to talk about the position, please do reach out, because we want to encourage people. It's a pretty fun time to be the city manager in Arcata. I mean, I think I've tried to make it look fun most of the years I've been there.
With all the bulb outs and the one-ways?
Bulb outs and one-ways, yeah. Did you want to transition already into we are converting 8th and 9th Street to one-way next week?
I just kind of see that. No, it's next week?
Well, we've been looking for a 3 to 4 day window of sun, so
why?
I assume within the next 10
put
days.
Put arrows on the
They'll
on
be
the
restriping. They'll be restriping the road. Yeah, for one way.
You say something like this way?
This way only, yeah.
Well, not, you know, not that I get wrapped up in petty crap, but I do. The arrows in parking lots that people seem to ignore just tease me off. You know, three people are waiting to turn in going the right way, and one yahoo is deciding to come the other way. With attitude, undoubtedly. Yeah, or a question like, how come everybody's coming at me?
Yeah.
You look it down.
It happens.
So,
we see it all the time.
Signage and things
is
of
important.
That nature.
Yeah. It's certainly important.
What about those strip things?
You know, that you can't back
if you go the wrong way, it pops your tires.
Yeah,
it tends to get people's attention.
It
too.
Does, and I think they can be appropriate for parking lots, but they're
not
certainly not appropriate for city streets. No, we don't need that. We certainly don't want a poor bicycle to get caught going over that.
Are you going to be doing the as part of this, the big wide bicycle lanes and skateboard lanes and all that kind of stuff, too?
As part of the 8th and 9th Street striping, we are. Wow, that was a tongue twister this morning.
The sun got in your eye.
Yeah, it actually, I mean, this is interesting for Arcata, is that it does increase parking in the downtown area by moving to diagonal parking on several sections of those roads.
I love but that. How much is it? 15%?
Improves. Well, I'm not
10%?
Gonna, at least over 10%. So we're probably right around 15.
I'm curious why that isn't the norm.
Well, it's a difference for us, at least on 8th and 9th Street, of having one-way traffic or two-way traffic, right? If you want the two full lanes plus a bike lane, you know. So here we can improve pedestrian bicycle facilities on those roads and increase parking, but it does require us to move to one-way for those few blocks that will.
Well, and if you're looking to slow down traffic, or was it traffic calming, I think, is the vernacular. Do that.
Yeah.
There's nothing permanent. You know, a can of paint. Okay, fine.
Right.
You know, if it doesn't work out.
Right.
And there's a lot of one-way streets through commercial areas in this county that could do that.
Yeah.
And you're not spending tens of thousands of dollars on these bulb outs every block. I mean, it would seem to be more financially responsible.
There are a lot of bulb outs that are going in. And, I mean, as you know, we've talked about this many times, like traffic engineers, their entire job is to limit injury and limit death on traffic collisions. And so they're looking at ways to slow traffic down in areas that have high impact. So going around corners.
Barricades do that, too.
But they
it doesn't
also
work for traffic
but you
flow,
still need
but
the traffic to
it's
flow.
Safe. It's really safe.
So, you know, corners are, intersections are dangerous collision areas, and so looking at trying to slow those around, as annoying as they are for a lot of us,
I think
we do get used to slowing down.
In the car, okay. Now, what about the pedestrians with trip and falls?
Well, I mean, we need to keep looking where we're going. You know, I mean, they all do have ADA access to get you through. You just need to follow the path. And we do sometimes like to take the shortest route, which might be just
cut
2 feet
yes.
over, and then you're going to be walking over some of the bulb out pieces. But the idea is to provide a safe lane of travel and pedestrian refuge as close as you can on either side of that lane of travel.
That's the concept of those islands in the middle that always have the bent signs.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least give a little
more. See, I'm
more
driving through town now. I'm paying attention to these
good.
Things. Going, okay, that one's been replaced 3 times in 6 months, huh? Something, you know, there's a message being delivered here.
And the message is more needs to be done, and it's why you're seeing the bulb outs.
Nice try.
Gotta pull it back out.
Nice try. It's not going to fly, but nice try.
Thank goodness we are coming upon a break.
Yeah, the duck flu, so you're getting safe. Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. Are there going to be more of those bulb outs, or is the one-way streets? I think one-way streets make a ton more sense. Is that going to be the new trend?
I don't know. This particular project came out of the Plaza Improvement Task Force because it had multi-benefits. We'll see how it goes, and there certainly could be other areas of town that it's appropriate.
That means community-supported, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Yes, reminiscing with Karen Deemer about things totally not Arcata.
Totally not Arcata.
Yeah.
But do you want to hear about our most exciting new project?
Would that be that we were talking about? Or
we haven't talked
Arcata
about it yet. Oh, of course
Knocked out the rose. We've already talked about your sewer plant.
We have. We have a new project.
Haven't talked about it yet, but we've gotten the update.
Perhaps,
okay.
Perhaps Winston has seen the news.
This is
this
not
week.
Krabs Park and spending extra money on that.
It's not, but we're going to do that too.
Yeah.
It's not Carlson Park, our new riverfront park.
You're bringing back McKinley.
No, but I did see a picture. There was a group of
he's been brought
high
out.
School teachers, I think, that went on their spring break to a history conference and posted some new photos of his new location. He's back up on a pedestal in Canton, Ohio. And
there's a football helmet on and is rooting for the Browns.
Well, that could be. That could be.
All right. What's your new project?
So
it's not like a new couplet or something.
No new couplet. No, it's actually it is new land. We're building new
You're annexing?
Land, and we're not annexing.
Phil.
I feel like this would be one of those good trivia questions.
Yeah, you should have written the book.
I should have.
You blew it.
Yeah. No, we are actually, Arcata was selected as one of three communities in California.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Newsom's money from earlier this week.
Because
the highway makes you bipolar. cuts the city in half.
It certainly divides the city. I don't know if it makes us bipolar.
Well, okay, how about Jekyll and Hyde?
Jekyll and Hyde, yeah.
You like Stevenson reference better?
The Bay Side and the Forest Side,
I try
to soften it a little bit.
If there were railroad tracks, we could say the other side of the tracks.
Yeah, but the exciting piece really is the idea of actually tunnelizing Highway 101 through a portion of Arcata. And as you drive on 101, which you do
You're going to make a tunnel?
Now, we are going to build a land bridge over the highway. So right now, this first phase would be from
land bridge over the highway.
So from 14th Street to 17th Street, it's about 5 acres of land that will be created, and it will be connectivity from the east and west sides of Arcata again. So, you know, kind of what was a pie in the sky long-term project has actually developed a little bit of support at the state, and we will start to be working with the community on what.
So there'll be a tunnel.
Like. So the highway itself will, in essence, feel like a tunnel.
Oh, we have artists rendered. Oh, it looks like
grass
more. That needs to be.
But something much larger than that. Find us a larger. Winston's showing us photos now. We're on the radio.
It looks like a rooftop garden.
Definitely. Well, that is a rooftop garden.
Oh.
On that picture that
you see. Gee, maybe that's why it looks that way, huh?
Our 5 acres could have housing. It could have a transit hub for the region. It could have a small conference space. It could have a sports
field. You need to have another bus station like Eureka has? Or will have?
Well, here we need in our transit system is something very easy on and off the highway. For Greyhound, for Amtrak, and for our local regional system that goes, you know, from Trinidad all the way down to Fortuna. So Arcata does have a transit, but it is a slow wind for those buses, and it adds just a lot of time. So as we try to move to get away from the hour cycle and get to at least the half-hour cycle for buses in all directions, something that's an easier on and off.
Why don't you use crummies?
The highway. What's crummies?
The short vans really that you use, like the athletic
teams?
Well,
even short vans, sure. But even short vans
run on the half hour.
Wind around.
Yeah, but if you run that on the half hour, it's only 20 feet long instead of 60 feet long.
It's not so much about the size as it is about how long the route takes to get through.
Go faster. Yeah. I mean, if that's the issue. Jeez.
Well, you can't just drive. Anyway.
Yeah. So with this, isn't that where the major water pipeline goes? I can remember when Carol was at the water district. At the water district, there was the fountains, and they had to dig down, and there was like 60 or 70
really
feet.
North. That's closer to St. Louis Overpass, right?
It doesn't run parallel to the highway? It kind of cuts
it
in?
It crosses over. It hits our Alliance Water Transfer Station, you know, is where we tie into the system.
Right.
And then it heads out the peninsula because it fed the pulse.
Oh, I thought how does it get to Eureka?
It tees off on the east side of 101. On L.K. Wood Boulevard, and then it runs down L.K. Wood, and then it runs out through the pastures, all on the east side of the freeway.
Oh, so it's up on, it's not in the dig out for the highway?
It's not. It is east of that, and then runs on the east side of the highway all the way down to Eureka. Eureka maintains that line all the way from North Arcata all the way to Eureka. They tee off there.
Oh, really?
Yep. The things you learn on Talk Shop.
Jeez.
So tantalizing.
Yeah, yeah.
Who won't turn in next month?
Yeah, find out where the water mains are in your town, right here. Okay. Obviously, this thing's going to have to be built like a,
all those things.
A fort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Super.
Because that won't be built on fill because that's native soil, right?
They will do all those studies to figure out where can
Well, as long as it has taken for last strength. Chance.
Yeah.
What do you think about 2050, 2060?
We'll see. Hopefully not that long. Hopefully last chance will be done before then, too.
Whose property will it be? Is it the city? I mean, if there's property and people can be building on it, somebody's got to be buying the property. Who owns that?
Ownership of the property. And we'll determine
You're not thinking
that.
Private sector? You're not thinking...
We're just in the beginning stages. So
yeah,
need
but you
to
made
make
application for this thing, right?
We did. And so,
what
we've talked about is shared priorities between the university and the city and the state. You know, so
who's missing? State government, local government, mm-hmm. local education. Mm-hmm. Who could be the fourth?
Step up now.
Community?
Yes.
Private
absolutely.
Sector?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see.
But if it's only 5 acres.
We'll figure out what that process looks like.
Yeah. No. I don't think they need more dorm space right now. There's apartments available all over the place now.
They'll be filling up. I mean, I do think we're going to see, again, you know, my prediction has always been for modest growth in enrollment. And then they'll be bringing on the over 1,000 beds in Craftsman Mall. So it's been fun to watch that project go up.
Did you guys project anything? Pillar to post. Did you guys project anything with the marijuana sales? Is that industry cratering impacting the city's budget at all? Either real or projected?
Yeah, it has at times. We've really been able to track that in, supply, mostly in supply chain stuff around cultivation. I think this current trend is a little bit harder for us to pinpoint, but I always think that it hits in our restaurant, it hits in retail sales.
It ripples
in all of those areas. Yeah,
but
our manufacturers seem to be holding.
That's what I was thinking. You guys had the fancy permitting for the pharmaceutical side, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know what.
I mean, at some point, I just almost at a gut level feel like we have more actual retail outlets than our population can support. So, I think that some of those are going to struggle ebb and flow, and that's just the private market is going to even out what that actual number is.
You mean you're not going to put there's no limit like on franchise fast food restaurants?
Yes, there is actually a limit. Yeah, there's a limit of 10, and I think we're at 9 right now. But 9 is a lot for a town of, less than 20,000 people.
That's a lot of consumption.
Yeah.
Projected or hoped for.
Yeah, especially for a physically small item that you can have a lot in a store. Like, you can have a lot of choice in a store.
Really?
You know, it's not like cars that you only have one brand. Like, they're all in every store. So, you know, makes it a pretty competitive market.
I guess someday I might.
Someday you're going to have to venture in.
Look inside, Or at least peer through the window.
Well, that would just be a ridiculous way to spend your time. Go on in, ask questions, look around. It's not scary.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Okay.
We are.
How about an update on the pond? How's that?
Our wastewater treatment plant is really running smoothly. We've hit our major milestones for this last year of installing our ultraviolet disinfection system.
Did that increase capacity, or is that just a treatment
Yeah, that is the replacement for chemical chlorine treatment. So instead of actually adding chemical treatment and then we remove the chlorine with another chemical that removes chlorine, we have moved to basically, it looks like, I don't know, a minnow track, a small raceway track of light bulbs, of UV light bulbs that water runs through, which kills all of those pathogens. So that big milestone, and then our other big milestone was moving the actual point of what we call discharge into Humble Bay. So we used to discharge straight into
an area called
Butcher's Slough.
Yeah.
And moving that outfall over into an area that discharges to another pond and then winds slowly out its way to Humble Bay. So there's really additional cleansing of that water.
Oh, is that what the purpose is?
Yeah.
With this, is it going to keep the cost intact? Because you're not having to double treat things? Is it going to increase the cost for water and sewer?
Sure. It. My guess is that we will see slight increases because the cost of electricity associated with UV is pretty tremendous. So we'll see how that plays out over time.
So it's going to be dependent on PG&E.
And how much we can offset with solar that we can build over time.
Well, that's not free.
It's not free, but it can be cheaper than other
PG&E?
Sources of of electricity.
Right, I got to talk to whoever you're talking to about that one. I got a quote for the beach house, and it was like massive.
It was expensive.
It was like 25% of the more on above the build.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, just put it in.
Yeah,
but it's been a long time goal to get away from chemical treatment, especially for water that discharges into Humble Bay. You know, there are residuals that build up over time as you chlorinate and dechlorinate water. And it's good to be able to remove those from our treatment process.
So with this housing explosion that is going, well, even just the thing with the crane at the north end of town. I forget what the name of it is.
It's called, we all refer to it as Craftsman Mall because that's kind of the old name for, that light industrial.
So where's the gateway thing?
So if you
Isn't
were
that
at
like
Craftsman
the gateway?
Mall, it would be a little bit south and then all on that east side. So east of actually K Street.
South.
Yeah. So south.
So like where
Craftsman.
The tennis courts are? Or a skateboard park, depending on what your age is.
But then you've got to head all the way down to K and Alliance, like where K Street turns into Alliance, right about that corner.
Oh, that the three-way there?
Then you are south and east, all the way to Samoa Boulevard.
But that's not really a gateway. Isn't the gateway the main door?
That's the new main door. It is the gateway portion of it has always been referred to as Samoa Boulevard. It's kind of the incoming of that area.
Okay.
But you do, what we're referring to as the gateway area really is west of K Street. So it's a lot of old light
North,
industrial.
South,
so Wing Inflatable.
East, west. Yeah, okay.
The Creamery District.
The railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Thump,
yep.
thump, thump.
There you go. The railroad tracks in east.
And into town. Okay.
Or in west.
Oh, heading out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you have a gate going out of town? Or you were just encouraging
still
people.
Coming back in.
Oh, I see.
It's the gateway when you're coming in.
Yeah, okay. So it's just that one? It's not that one and then the
And
St.
it runs
Louis?
Up to about 11th Street.
So is that going to have a realignment or anything? Or is this more like a zone or a neighborhood or
exactly.
a cutesy title?
Yeah, it is a zone that is a little bit larger than what was originally identified as the Creamery District.
That's right. So that will be enveloped in this?
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to look like? Why, I guess?
The why is that if you walk through that neighborhood, and we did dozens of walking tours, you do see that there's a lot of underdeveloped or really underutilized or not unutilized or vacant lands in that region.
We could use Rory Robinson's word.
Oh, it's going to be a fancy.
Starts with a B, ends with a light.
There is some blight.
You do remember that.
There is some, but there is also, areas
There's
that really
neat.
Aren't blight, but,
yeah.
Have some cool old spaces that can be reconfigured. But it's also walkable to downtown. It's walkable to the university. And if you just drive Simo Boulevard, as you get from,
right.
kind of that last bit of town, you can see the potential for development in that area. And that's why it was identified many, many years ago as a potential area for denser infill.
So is there going to be any encouragement, either fee waivers or things like that, to make it happen? Or is it just going to be this designation and you still have all of the challenges?
Yeah, there are what's called community benefits. And it's if you add benefits the community has identified ahead of time. So whether it's open space or whether it's bike parking or electric vehicle parking, then you get amenities, maybe additional stories.
You bring in electric vehicles with 10 seconds to go?
More for next month.
Apparently
right
so.
Here on KINS.
We'll learn about that too when we next reconvene. See everybody on Monday.